Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I promise I'm going to get you stirred before it's over one way or the other. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's the greatest purpose that we have in life, not just in this service, but to know and to understand the Word of God, to obey God, and to know His will for our lives. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. And if you received our message here today, you know the title of this sermon. And tonight I'm going to call this message, "The World Will Soon Be Shaken." The world will soon be shaken. And you say, "Pastor, wow, that's a very, you know, serious title to a sermon." Yeah, absolutely, it is serious. And someone would say, "Well, Pastor, that sounds prophetic in nature." Well, you're right. We are going to look at Bible prophecy here tonight. The world will soon be shaken. Now, I'm not here to just get you to buy into my experiences, but as a pastor, you know, as I seek the Lord and what He would have me, you know, to share, this impulse or this sense or this phrase just keeps coming to me over and over and over again. The world will soon be shaken. Now, we hear that and we say, "Oh man, that sounds doom and gloom." Folks, how many of you know that if you're born again, you've got the joy of the Lord on the inside? There's no doom and gloom. There's no doom and gloom. You don't find your joy by looking at the circumstances in the world. You don't find your joy by looking at what's going on and taking place in the political arena or, you know, across the nations. There is a lot of turmoil on this earth. But folks, we know that we might be in this world, but we are not of this world. Amen. Jesus, He told us over there in John 16:33, He says, "These things I speak unto you, that in me you shall have peace." He said, in the world you will have troubles and tribulation, but be of good cheer. Amen. Good cheer. He said, "I have overcome this world already for you." Amen. And so we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to look at this Bible prophecy because it's starting to show itself as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. And let's read, starting in Hebrews 12, starting in verse 25, we're going to read down to the end of the chapter, just about four or five verses here, and then we're going to go back and we're going to explain what's going on. Just a little context before we read this passage. You got to know that this is the author of Hebrews, of course, we know is ultimately the Holy Spirit, and we know He is talking about the difference between Old Testament Israel and New Testament Christians. He's talking about the time when God spoke to Israel on Mount Sinai over there in Exodus chapter 19. So when we see, you know, who He's referring to here, He's talking about the difference between Jesus in the New Testament and how God spoke at Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. He says this. He says, "See that you refuse not Him that speaks." Well, how many of you know God's talking to us? God is speaking to us. This life in Christianity should be about the ability to hear God's voice in our hearts. You know, we know God is speaking to us through His written word. That is first and foremost, you know. The number one way to hear God's voice in your life is the Word of God. But how many of you know He's speaking to us as individuals? He's speaking to us in our homes and our families. He's also speaking to us as a church family. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's speaking to the body of Christ. Christianity is not just about, you know, getting to go to heaven someday. Christianity is a relationship with the Lord, a relationship with our Father, that He speaks to us, we hear Him, and we shouldn't be taken by such surprise of these things that are happening on the earth. Because He's speaking to us, and He's trying to get us to know and understand these things. He says, "See that you refuse not Him that speaks, for if they," Old Testament Israel, "if they escaped not who refused Him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaks from heaven." Jesus is the one that's being referred to here. Jesus is the one that speaks from heaven, right? He communicates with us in this earth. And he's talking about there was a difference because back there in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 19, Israel started to refuse him that spoke from Mount Sinai or spoke from the earth. And the Bible tells us that we should not refuse him who is now speaking from heaven. Amen. Jesus himself. Verse 26, it says, "Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens." All right. When it says there in the King James, it says heaven. It's not talking about where God lives. This is literally the word is the heavens. God said there's coming a time he's going to shake the earth again, and this time he's going to shake the heavens with it. It's talking about literally what we call space, all right, where the sun, the moon, and the stars are. He's saying that there's going to be a shaking that won't just affect earth, it will also affect the heavens or the skies that we see or what we know as space and so on. He says in verse 27, "And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Remember, that's a reference to when God appeared on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. He came down upon that mountain with great fire. Remember that? Amen. Now let's go back over to verse 25 and let's again just go through a few things here. And then we're going to get to the prophecy in this passage. Look what he says. He says, "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they in the Old Testament did not escape when they refused him that spoke from earth or when he was on Mount Sinai, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven." And so we can't turn away from the word of the Lord. You know, we can't run from him. You know, we can't hide ourselves. God is trying to say something to us. Now, verse 26 is where we're trying to get to. Verse 26 is the prophecy that is in this passage. He says this. He says, "Whose voice," back there in the Old Testament, "shook the earth." Remember that? When God gave the Ten Commandments, you know, on top of Mount Sinai, and when he spoke to Israel from that mountain, the Bible says that that mountain and the earth shook under the sound of his voice. How many of you remember the Ten Commandments? Now, I hope your greatest experience with the Ten Commandments isn't from Charlton Heston and the movie, right? We're going to have to read the Bible. Amen. And so he said, back then it shook the earth because God spoke to them from earth. But now God has promised, saying one more time, "I will not only just shake the earth, but I will shake the heavens as well." Folks, this is something that is prophesied. It is something that is in the Word. It is something that absolutely is going to happen. And I'm here to tell you, we are starting to see some of it, some of the prophetic shadow start to cast all over the earth right now. All right? Absolutely. And in context here, specifically, when it's talking about the coming of the shaking of the earth, if I'll spare you all the deep study, this is talking about when Jesus returns in the near future. At Jesus' return, the Bible says that the earth will be shaken and also the heavens will shake with the earth. But remember, this shaking is not just a one-moment thing. It's not just a momentary event that just happens one quick time when Jesus shows up and that's it. Remember, the Scripture tells us that the return of the Lord is likened to a woman having contractions up until the point she gives birth, right? Right? Praise the Lord, right? You know, those days are coming. And we won't go into great detail, right? But we know that when a child is about to be born, those contractions start to become more frequent and they start to become more intense, all right? And so this shaking is also likened in the scripture. It's also likened as birth pains or leading up to the, just like a woman leading up to the birth of a child. When Jesus is about to return to this earth, the earth will begin to contract, or the earth will start to see this shaking. Now, this shaking is not just a physical shaking. It's not just an earthquake, though we see in the scripture where that will be included. But we see that it will be a shaking of spiritual things. It'll be a testing upon people and their attitudes. It will be a testing of their faithfulness to the Lord. There will be a lot of things that will be shaken when, and I'm here to tell you, some of these things are already starting. And yes, we are going to see more and more of these things in the near future. All right. And so I want to say this, though, as we look at verse 26, I am not here tonight to tell you all what this shaking will look like and include. I can't tell you what it all will include. You know, it may include earthquakes. You know, it may include natural disasters. You know, I'm here to tell you, just because the scripture says it, probably in the weeks, in the months, in the years right ahead of us, this world is going to see some cataclysmic events, some natural disasters, all right? Jesus warned of that in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. Those things may be included in the shaking. You know, the governments and the nations will be shaken. Governments of men will be shaken. Wealth systems, economies will be shaken. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be included in this shaking. Political systems, even man-made religion will be shaken. Even churches that have man-made doctrine will be shaken, right? These things will come to pass, all right? But I'm not here to go into great detail of everything, what will happen. But I am going to take time tonight to talk about why this shaking happens. And that's where it pertains to us. Why is this shaking, you know, coming to the earth? Why is this going to take place? Why is it starting to show itself right now? Well, you know, we saw one example just a few years ago. The pandemic was absolutely an example of this kind of shaking. All right. Jesus said that in the last days there will be pestilences that'll cover the earth. There will be earthquakes, so nations will rise against nations, right? And so we are aware of this. And again, it's not my job to go tell you what it all will look like, but I need you to focus tonight on why it's happening, all right? Because we need to be prepared. Are you here tonight? All right. Now, verse 27 tells us why it matters. I'm here to show you why this is starting to happen, why this will take place, and why this will happen all the way up to the coming of the Lord. All right. Verse 27, let's read it. It says, in this word, it says, yet once more, signifies the, meaning he will shake the earth once more. It signifies the removing of those things that are shaken or movable. All right. Read this verse very carefully. It signifies the removing of those things that can be shaken or moved as of things that are made. Literally, that term means man-made. Everything that is man-made is being shaken, all right? And it says this, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain, all right? You know, I actually had an illustration planned for you here tonight. I was actually going to bring in a little stool top, and I had some bottles of water, and I had four bottles, and one of them was full, and the other three were empty, and I was going to set them on top of that little stool, and what will happen if you just give that stool a little shake? Which ones will fall? Which ones will fall? The empty ones. And I did this little experiment. You know, I tested it over and over. The one that was full withstood the shaking every single time, but the empty bottles just fell off that stool every single time. And see, that shaking will happen to determine what can actually last. See, I'm here to tell you, God's going to find out, not because God is the author of destruction, God is not out destroying people, God doesn't want to see people that are get hurt and all this stuff, but this shaking will test humanity and it will find out who's full of God and who's not. Amen. I know that's a big thing. See, this scripture says this shaking signifies the removing of things that can be shaken or moved. How many of you know the Bible says that we're not supposed to be moved, right? What is that? Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will not suffer or allow the righteous to be moved. God does not want us to be moved. He wants to give us a kingdom that is immovable. Amen. And so this shaking is for the purpose of determining what, you know, testing what God made versus what people made, to determine what is eternal, what will last, and what will actually be true fruit to God. Signifies removing of those things that are shaken or movable. Folks, we're not supposed to be shaken. We're not supposed to be moved. We're not supposed to be scared. We're not supposed to be worried. We're not supposed to be deceived. We're not supposed to be offended. Are you here? It says, these things will be shaken as of things that are man-made, so that things which cannot be shaken may remain. God wants to find out what is real and what's not. He knows. But what's going to happen is it's going to determine, you know, what is actually God-inspired versus that which was just man-made. Yeah. The removing of things. This is why the shaking is happening. It is for the removing of things that are movable. The things that are man-made, governments, economies, wealth systems, political systems, man-made religion, man-made doctrine. If it is man-made, it is going to shake and it is going to be removed. And only that which is made by God is going to remain. I know. Heavy duty service. If you're visiting here tonight, woo, you picked a humdinger. You should have come to the picnic last week. Praise the Lord. Maybe some of you were at the picnic. That was wonderful. Praise the Lord. And so I wanted to show you why this kind of shaking happens. It happens to find out what is real in our hearts, who is real, who is sincere, what God is doing in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, I want you to be sustained. I want you to be immovable. Amen. I want you not to be concerned about the shaking. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So this shaking is basically coming to test the stability of everyone and everything. Where our sincerity and our relationship with the Lord is going to be tested. Ooh, boy. Hallelujah. Yes. See, when we're hungry for God, we're sincere for Him, we don't have to be concerned at all. It will test our stability in God. Amen. Now look at verse 28, and here's why it's exciting for us. It says, wherefore, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Is anyone in here part of the kingdom that cannot be moved? If you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you have joined the fellowship of the immovables. This is what God is looking for, those that will be part of His kingdom, those that will have grace and serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Folks, the shaking of the earth, whether it's in the political realm, whether it's with natural disasters, whether it is, you know, financially, you know, financial systems, you know, politically, wars and rumors of war. Boy, I tell you what, we're living in some interesting time. Israel's at war, you know, all these things that are going on. But just remember, we've received a kingdom that is immovable. But the nations, the things that are man-made, they are very movable. And remember, the shaking is going to happen just to simply find out what God has made versus what man has made. And I'm just here to tell you, I refuse to be moved with the shaking of this world. I refuse to be worried. I refuse to be concerned. No matter what happens in our nation with the election, guess what? I'm still part of the kingdom of the immovables. No matter what happens with the economy, no matter what happens with inflation, we are part of the kingdom that is immovable. Amen. Regardless of what wars pop off in the Middle East, regardless of what China's doing, regardless of what Russia's doing, amen, we are part of the kingdom of the immovables. Folks, all these things are going to get shaken. And the question is, are you ready for it? Are you ready to not move with those things? Because the shaking is coming to find out who and what is immovable. God wants to find out who and what is immovable. Amen. It's going to be tested. I'll tell you what, just like that illustration I described with those water bottles, make a decision right now to be full. Make a decision right now. You're not easily offended. You know, now is not the time to be living in this Christian life, always ticked off at somebody, squabbling with other Christian brothers and sisters. Now is not the time to be squabbling with leadership. Now is not the time to be, you know, offended at somebody at work or ticked off at your relatives and all this stuff. Amen. Don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. Don't be offended. Don't betray one another. And don't let the love for the things of God grow cold. The five instructions of Jesus in the very last days. He said, don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. Don't be offended. Don't betray one another. Hello? And don't let the love for God grow cold. Why? Because the world's going to be shaken and only the sincere things are going to stand. Only the sincere things are going to stand. Are you sincere here tonight? I know you are. Praise the Lord. And I've got good news. There is a way to absolutely be in this world when it is shaking and be completely unmovable. It is found right here in verse 28. It says, wherefore we've received a kingdom that cannot be moved. If my kingdom that I'm in, which is Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom that I'm in cannot be moved, then I'm not going to be moved. I'm not. Because aren't you worried about the election? No. Mm-mm. Say, well, what if so-and-so gets in there and ruins our country? Well, that'd be sad. I love this nation. I do. Everybody in my family served in the military. My grandfathers were combat veterans, POWs. My first cousin died in an IED attack in Afghanistan. You know, I believe me, I know all about, you know, the sacrifice of military families, you know, for this nation. I love my country, but you know what? America is not the kingdom that is immovable. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is the kingdom, and we need to be praying for our nation. We need to, you know, the only thing that this nation's got going for at the moment is Christians like me and you praying out and crying out for God's mercy, because our nation has turned from the Lord. You know that, correct? You know that America has received her last call. America has absolutely turned on the things of God. And the only thing left are those like us and other great Christians and great churches all throughout the land that are praying for God's mercy upon this nation. Because Jesus said, once a nation has lost its salt, it is good for nothing. We don't want this nation to lose its salt. But wherefore we've received a kingdom which cannot be moved. If I'm in that kingdom, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved. And it says, let us have grace. See, when we see that word grace, unfortunately that word has been perverted these days. We think that word grace means, well, I'm under God's grace. That means I can sin if I want to. I'm forgiven. It doesn't matter what I do. That's not what grace means. Grace means the ability of God. The ability of God. Let us have God's ability, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Oh boy. Here's the good news. You say, well, where's the good news in that? There's a lot of good news in that. First of all, we can serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. But notice the word acceptably. Notice that when God says you can serve me acceptably, meaning not everything is acceptable to him. Folks, I know this is where a lot of preachers don't want to tell you this. Not everything we decide to do is acceptable to the Lord. Only that which He says in here is acceptable to Him. There's a lot of things that God is not going to accept. You know, yes, we make sincere mistakes, and God is graceful and merciful when we make sincere mistakes, but we cannot continue in a life of sin and expect God to just look past it. He does not do that. Amen. There's things that are unacceptable to Him. You know, the Bible says drunkenness is unacceptable to Him. You know, the Bible says doing drugs is akin to witchcraft. It's not acceptable to Him. Lying is not acceptable. Cheating is not acceptable. There is a life that is acceptable to God, and there's a lifestyle that is not acceptable to God. Oh boy, I'll tell you what. Folks, I know no one wants to hear this because politically, political correctness has taken hold in our nation. I'm not saying this about the individual. God, in the blood of Jesus Christ, is able to save to the uttermost. But I'm here to say that, homosexuality is not acceptable to the Lord. Transgenderism is not acceptable. Now, the good news is that Jesus would wash them with His blood and give them the power, deliver them out of that lifestyle. I know great people who have been delivered out of that lifestyle. People act like that doesn't happen. It happens all the time, the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. But we see this where it says that we would serve God acceptably. You know, there was a time in my life when I thought I was serving God, but it wasn't acceptable to Him. There was a time in my life where I was at the party, I was at the bar, I was getting boozed, I was partying with the world, doing all this stuff. But man, when the topic of religion came up, I'd say, oh, I'm a Jesus guy. I believed in Jesus. But my life wasn't acceptable to Him. And when I got saved and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I got into the Word, I started realizing that there was instructions that God wanted me to serve Him in an acceptable way. And I had to make hard decisions. I had to get over addictions. I had to get past, sins in my life, and I had to confess those sins. See, when the Bible says that we should serve God acceptably, that means that God has a standard. God has a standard. Do you believe that God has a standard? Yes. All right. It says that we are to serve God acceptably, or we should take the standard of Christ that was given to us. How many of you know Jesus was given to us as the ultimate example of how to live for God? Amen. You say, well, what should my life look like as a Christian? It should look like Christ. Amen. Absolutely. Say, well, Pastor, does your life look like Jesus Christ every minute of every day? Do you ever make a mistake? Of course I make mistakes. I'm not saying that it's not perfection. You know what I mean? But when we're sincere and we're following Him, we pursue that. We pursue that desire to be just like Him. Amen? All right. Now, this is the verse I want you to remember. That we serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. New Testament, right? Go back to the Old Testament. Go to Isaiah chapter 59. And now I'm going to give you what you need to do to preserve yourself in the shaking. And it's real simple. How many of you got the message today where I said this was going to be a shorter message than usual? Heather is doubting me. I can see the doubt on her face right now. Greg is doubting me. Anyone else who honestly believes that this is going to be a shorter message? Nobody. Nobody believes it. Well, you'll be surprised. Because I'm going to give you a very simple thing that you can do. And many of you probably are doing that already. All right? Go to Isaiah 59 and verse 19. Isaiah 59:19. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. God has a standard. And see, when you walk in God's standard, His standard is immovable. Amen. When we walk in God's standard, His standard is immovable. It is stable and it cannot be shaken. Glory to God. Only His standard is going to survive the shaking. Did you see that? in Hebrews 12:27, only his standard is going to survive the shaking. Our standard, our ideas will not survive it. This message is God simply getting over to us to hand our lives over to him fully because he doesn't want us to be moved when the shaking comes. Hallelujah. Look what God does here. It says in Isaiah 59:19, it says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun." That's the east. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a" what? "A standard against him." That word standard, are you ready for what this word standard means? It means a level of quality or something to be measured against. A level of quality. Or you could say it this way, it'll be an uplifting of God's ways. It's interesting, when Isaiah was prophesying to Israel, if you read Isaiah 59, Israel had completely turned from God. They were living in sin. They were absolutely disobedient and rebellious. And, you know, it looked like the enemy was just about to devour Israel. And now God said this. He says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Or literally, if you read this in the Hebrew, it says, "God will lift up a standard so that the enemy will flee and run away." That the enemy will flee and run away. Amen. Folks, let's just be honest. Has it seemed like in our nation or in our own lives or just in society in general, does it feel like the enemy's been coming in like a flood? Anybody seen that a little bit? All right, there's two of you that are honest. Praise the Lord. All right. Folks, when I say what I'm about to say, this is not to say look at me. I'm just, you know, as a pastor, what I do, you know, every day. I wake up every day of my life, you know. I wake up, I pray before I even go out of the room. And then after I'm done praying, I go downstairs in the morning and I hit the coffee button. Anyone else hit the coffee button in the morning? I hit the coffee button. I have it all ready to go. Click. It's ready to go. And then I go into my office and I sit down, and my day will include, you know, a lot of administrative stuff at times. But really, when I sit down in my office, I'm sitting down to help people. I'm sitting down in any given week. You know, my life could include, you know, helping people with their marriage, counseling people about their children, talking to somebody about the loss of a loved one. Recently got to help a single mother, you know, with a broken down car. I mean, there's just all this stuff. You know, people are going through, you know, troubles in their marriage, people going through financial struggles, all this stuff. I will say, more so than at any other time, I've been pastoring for 19 years, and this past year, these past couple years, there's been more troubles in people's lives than all the years combined before it. All combined in. Why? Because part of it is the enemy is coming in like a flood, trying to make God's people very trouble-minded. Well, we've been speaking a lot about that, right? About not being troubled. And so the enemy comes in like a flood, and I'm seeing what's happening in the people's lives. Life is just feeling so tiring. You know, life just feels, you know, tough and hard, and, you know, whether it's financial or marital or in their emotions or with family or the loss of a loved one or attack in their bodies, you know, all this stuff, when the enemy comes in like a flood. I've seen it. And it feels like it's taking so much out of people. And folks, this is why I'm bringing this up. Because the natural reaction when life starts to zap a lot out of you, I see it. Now, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard, but the flesh of man lowers the standard. When life gets tough, when life gets tiring, when life feels like the enemy's coming in like a flood, what happens is the first thing we start to do is we start to lower our God standards. You know, like, oh, I've had people say this. Pastor, you know, life is so tired. I just can't go to church as much. Oh, pastor, you know, I just, you know, can't bear the thought of one more thing to do. I just don't pray much anymore. Pastor, I just don't give anymore. You know, pastor, there's so much going on. I just don't feel like serving in the church anymore. Hello? Yeah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, all of a sudden, you know, we start to feel like, oh, I need to do less for God. Oh, I just, you know, I don't want to, you know, life is tough. You know, life is tiring. I'm just not taking the time to pray like I should. I don't get into the Bible like I should. I'm going to stop serving in church. Maybe I just won't go to church as often just to free myself up. But folks, that's the flesh of man. See, the enemy comes in to lower our standards because the enemy knows that when the earth shakes, those with low standards are going to be the ones that fall. Did everybody just get a hold of what I just said? When the earth shakes, the enemy wants to come in and try to get us to lower our standards, to be less acceptable, you know, to lower our standards and just kind of half give up, you know, half, you know, one foot in, one foot out. Get offended, go here, go there, go everywhere. Be torn up, uprooted, all this stuff. Just to lower your standard because the enemy knows that when the shaking comes, the low standard is what's going to fall. Folks, are you here? God doesn't want you and I to fall. He wants us, we've received an immovable kingdom. He wants us to absolutely, you know, be unshakable, unmovable, rooted deep. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not worried. I'm not panicked. I'm not changing up the game plan now. I'm going to stay faithful to Jesus. I'm going to stay faithful to the Word. I'm going to stay faithful in praise. I'm going to stay faithful in my church. I'm going to just, amen. Glory to God. So what does God do when the enemy comes up in the flood? He lifts up the quality. He lifts up the quality. Amen. And then look at verse 20. Look what this is talking about, the time when, of course, this was prophesied 700 years before Christ. But look at the next verse. Could you bring up verse 20, the very next verse? Look at what this verse says. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. This is a prophecy about who? Jesus. Isaiah wrote this 750 years before Jesus ever stepped foot on this earth. He's saying there's coming a new standard. There's coming one by which you can measure your life and one whose example you can follow, and you can follow that standard and it will prevent your life from falling when the shaking happens. The Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. See, this was written 700 years before Jesus. We're living now 2,000 years after Jesus. We have a standard. We know what to do. Folks, here's the purpose of this message. This is probably a little bit more preaching than it is teaching. I'm not giving you 5 points tonight. I'm not giving you 3 points in a poem. Actually, I never give you a poem. All right? But this is just simply maybe something that just has to get into our hearts through the preaching of the boldness of the Word. Amen. Folks, if the enemy is coming in like a flood against your life, you know, if he's coming in and you start to feel like you're slowing up for God, you know, all of a sudden your standards are lower. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to bring my standards lower for God. I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize. I have a standard in my house, and that standard is, for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. God gets what God wants in my home. God is first in my home. Whether that is the tithe, you know, whether, you know, my boys, if it's a sporting night versus a church night, guess what? Church is coming first. And people get upset with me. And it's not just about sports. That just is pertaining to my life because my kids play sports. But, you know, whether it's activities, whatever it is, God is going to get in my life what He wants. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to pray less in these days. I'm going to pray more in these days. I don't need my Bible less in these days. I need my Bible more in these days. And folks, can I just be real honest with you? There's a lot of people ticked at me for preaching this kind of stuff. Just downright ticked. Mad. Folks, this isn't an indictment against anybody. This is to pep y'all up. This is to stir myself up. This is to stir you up. Because when you start to lower the standard, what happens is the enemy knows you won't survive the shaking. Are you getting something out of this? You know, some people say, oh, pastor, you know, church just needs to be convenient. Church needs to be comfortable. Church just needs to be easy. Don't preach this stuff. Folks, if I don't preach this stuff, what will happen if the shaking begins? People won't be prepared. You know, what if the standard of the Lord, you know, what if we just keep bringing it lower and lower? Oh, it doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter. Just make it comfortable, convenient, easy. Folks, what if we did that with building codes? The word standard, another word for standard is a code. Or literally a creed. What is your code? What code do you follow as you build your relationship with the Lord in your home? How many of you know when this building was built, they had to follow codes? All right? You know, and now when it comes to this building, I wasn't here for when it was built. I know a lot of the codes that, you know, we had to go through to get this, you know, acceptable for church use. The Jamestown building, I was there when that building was built. I worked on that every day of my life for 2 straight years. And with this building, I spent a year on the telephone. A year. I was on the phone every day that was not called Sunday. 6 days a week, I was on the phone with Mill Creek officials every day, usually for several hours at a time. They were trying to shut this down. They did not want a church here. And I just knew, listen, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You got to know that the God in you can outlast anything and everything in this world. Praise the Lord. That was several years ago. But when it came to the Jamestown building, I was there. I stood on the footers, the concrete footers that were put into the ground. I was there for every phase of that construction. And I know this, when they build a building, they don't just say, yeah, put a few nails here. You know, put a little concrete there, just whatever you want, whatever is easy. Why are we given building codes? We are given building codes to keep people safe. See, this building was built to code so that when you come in here, it doesn't fall on you. All right? The Jamestown Church building, because we built it so heavy duty and everything, the government approached us and asked us that in the event of an earthquake, they asked us if they could use our building because they believed it would be one of the few that would still be standing. We built that Jamestown building. It has a 300-year life on it plus. 300 years plus. Praise the Lord. I have a feeling Jesus is coming well before then. All right. And so why are we given a code? We're given code to stay safe. God isn't raising the standard in your life to hurt you. He's not lifting a standard to take away blessing in your life. He wants a high standard because that high standard is how He gets His blessings to you, how He gets His promises to you. Amen. You know, if I live a standard in my life just says, well, I'm a pastor, I'm just not going to pray anymore. That standard is going to hurt my life. Oh, I'm not going to read the Bible anymore. That's going to hurt my life. I'm not going to serve in church anymore. That's going to hurt my life. See, there's a code. There's a standard. Think about the aviation. You know, think about the aviation world. Anyone ever flown on a commercial airliner? Ooh, yeah. You know, you ever seen, you know, when those pilots are up there, they're talking to air traffic control. They don't just say, hey, we're up here in this blue and white jet, and we want to fly at whatever altitude we want. We're going to land on whatever runway we want, whenever we want. How many of you know, you ever heard those guys? They don't describe the plane by the brand they're flying or the color of the plane. They describe it, everyone gets a flight number. November 3215 Golf, requesting, right turn, downwind, runway 35, flight level. You ever heard of these guys? Yeah. They give specific instructions. Does that mean that those air traffic control people are legalists? Does that mean they're legalistic? Are the building inspectors, does that just mean they're legalistic because they want it built to code? No, they want to keep people safe. God says, come up to my standard. Jesus is what we follow. Now remember, the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, we could never get to God's level. You know what I mean? We could never live up to his standard unless we had the blood of Jesus. Folks, the point that I'm making here, what you need to do, what I need to do, let's all soberly look at our life with the Lord. And let's look at it and say, okay, how can I bring my life with my relationship with God up? How can I increase the quality of it? Not saying that you don't have a high quality relationship with Jesus. Not saying that I don't have a high quality relationship with Jesus. But folks, I'm here to tell you that in the years to come, this world is not going to take it easy on believers. And when it starts to shake, you want to make sure that you've had that sincere, pure life that does whatever God wants in your life. Don't have anything between you and him. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't believe I have this problem. I'm not saying that you do. But this was a message that the Lord's been giving me, and I just had to be faithful to say it and to speak it. Amen? When the enemy comes in like a flood, what do? Raise the standard. Raise that standard. Don't let the devil say, oh, you just pray less. Oh, take it easy. Go to church less. Serve less. Don't do it. Just have it easy, comfortable. Find a concert, kind of church style. Oh, just, whatever's entertainment, whatever's easy, no conviction. Folks, I'm grateful. I have a pastor who has a high standard. His standard is the Lord's standard. And my pastor has not hurt my life because of his standard. It has saved my life, having that standard. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Praise the Lord. I don't think we need to take a vote. But if we are wrapping up right now, I think I went and kept my promise, Heather. Greg, right? Praise the Lord. Right, we're not done yet. Praise the Lord. Contractor, right? There's the codes. What's your code in your home? God first. God first. Not saying that it's not. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what it takes. Amen. I don't care if people get mad at me because we have to look and confess sin in our lives. God loves us. He doesn't want us to get hurt. Did you get some help here tonight? Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. You are so faithful. Lord, you said that once more the earth will be shaken and the heavens with it. Lord, we are seeing the very contractions leading up to the coming of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said that there would be earthquakes, famines, pestilences in places, wars and rumors of wars, kingdoms against kingdoms. All of this. Lord, we don't know exactly what everything will look like, but we know why the shaking occurs. The shaking occurs so that the things that are just made by man are removed, and only the things that are made by God remain. Only sincerity, pure-heartedness, obedience, a full surrender to Jesus, an absolute full devotion, loyalty, faithfulness. We're not offended. We're not mad at our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Father, we just praise you and glorify you. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? I'm here to tell you that God loves you. I'll tell you what, when it came for God's turn to raise up a standard, God didn't just pick any old sacrifice, did he? He picked the highest, the best. Absolutely, he picked Jesus, his son, because only that perfect blood of his own son could redeem us of our sin. Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago. The Bible says that he was nailed to that cross. He shed his blood. He died. And 3 days later, he rose again. And now the Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Here's the good news. Your standard can't save you, but God's standard can. And if you'll confess faith that Jesus died and rose again for you, the Bible says you'll receive eternal life. And then from that day forward, when you receive eternal life, just keep living for the Lord. Keep following his standard. Be part of that kingdom that is immovable. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ that cannot be crushed. But if you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus your Lord, you've never invited him into your heart, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to, bring you down front. I'm not going to send a church leader to you or something. But right there in your seat, if you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I need him. He's the standard that I need to receive. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to take a small step towards the Lord and lift your hand. The moment I see your hand in the air, you will hear me say, I see that hand. You can put it down. And then you can put your hand down. I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And everybody will be praying. And right there in your seat, you can pray the prayer and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if that's you, could you take that step towards the Lord and just lift your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, can you lift your hand right now? Is there anybody that you just be bold enough to lift that hand? Or maybe you are born again. You've made Jesus your Lord and your Savior. But you've walked away or you're not living for him the way you know you should. You haven't been obeying him. God's merciful. If you're here tonight and you'd like to rededicate your life to Christ, could you lift your hand? I'd love to pray for you. Anyone that needs to rededicate their life to him. I don't see any hands. I do believe that we have a room filled with Christians here tonight. God loves you. He's not mad at you. You know, all throughout these past 20-odd some years of serving the Lord, there's many times where I've had to look at my own standard with God. And I've had to go in and stir myself up and lift the quality of my relationship with him. That's not God beating us down. That's God calling us up. He's good. Father God, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Thank you for your word. We just give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. This is still earlier. We kept with our word. Amen. Let's just give God the praise as we get ready to dismiss. Father, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we command your hand of blessing upon each one. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.